take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there.
Wow, what a
powerful hymn to sing after prayer.
What a friend we have in Jesus.
What a thrill to have folks that willing to use their talents. And I'm talking about all of you. You have talents. You have things to share. Friday night, and as we sang, as the folks come in, we made our apologies about the group. They tried to make it up on Thursday night. I got a call about 9:30 on Thursday night. They were trying to beat the storm. I had no idea down in southwest Virginia that the weather on Thursday night was pretty difficult. They had snow. They had ice. They were trying to beat the storm. They didn't make it. They stopped down in southwestern part of Virginia and stayed overnight to head back in the next morning. As they headed out, 58, the bus broke down. And trying to get cars and all the workings of it, they decided that the best thing is to be towed back to Greensboro, North Carolina. They called, apologized about not being able to make it. We didn't finalize things until about 2 that afternoon that they were not going to be able to make it here for the concert. I didn't tell the guys, let them walk in. Tell them that you're on. I didn't want Bob to be all nervous, excited. And I was so proud of standing and singing with the men on Friday night. We were well received. We had a full house on Friday, looking forward to our first concert of the season. Afterwards, people were kind. They actually gave an offering, little notes about singing lessons, different things like that. We appreciate all the comments. And as I was standing to the back of the church and people were walking out, I felt that people had been encouraged. And if you have an opportunity in your life to encourage others, I think that it is a balm that will not only bring healing to their souls, but to yours also. In the New Testament, there's a very short book. Now, I pronounce it Philemon. You may have a different pronunciation. When you are preaching in your church, you can pronounce it any way you like. In the 4th verse, I'd like to read for you. This is a book that's very interesting. Written by the Apostle Paul to give encouragement and also to deal with a difficult subject. This man had a slave who had run away. And instead of making this book about a commentary on slavery, the apostle decided to make this book about encouragement and about forgiveness. Encouraging the man that had run away to come back and encouraging that master to receive him with forgiveness. But I love the way it begins in the 4th verse. I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith, which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. And the 7th verse reads, for we have great joy. We have great joy and consolation in your love. And listen to this, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother. The hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you. Heavenly Father, add a special blessing unto the reading of your word today. Open our minds, open our hearts, receive that special thing you have for each one. In Jesus' name, amen. To be an encourager. On Wednesdays, we study about that servant's heart. We study about the gift of encouragement. And I believe that now, more than any time, we need two things. We need prayer, and we need encouragement. I told you this is going to be bits and pieces Sunday, so here's my next either bit or piece. I'm not sure what this is. This past Monday, I was just so thrilled to get up and see that snow coming down, all that ice. Just can't tell you what a wonderful, encouraging feeling it is to get up and see that. And when you're feeling absolutely terrible, and I, my head, the head cold was throbbing. It was bang, you know all that. And I had all kind of medications and this and that, and you know, And so as the fellows went out to work, they restricted me to lay on the couch. And they said, if you move, there'll be a heavy price to be paid. And they gave me a newspaper. And I cannot remember when I, on a Monday morning, sit and read the newspaper. But in reading so, And I don't know how you do things in life, but when you do them and you figure the pieces just fall this way, I look for things. And I found two things in that newspaper that I want to share with you. First of all, I'd had a discussion about a ladies' basketball team right down here at Edison High School. I am an Edison alumni. You can't stop the Edison Eagles. Cousin Rick, and for all of you that we will not make her wear a name tag, that is Anna Marie. Everybody, she's Anna May, Anna Jones, Anna. She's got, it's real name, but she'll answer the most anything. They attended the game. They beat Mount Vernon for the fourth time, and they were talking about, and I'm a sports fan. I loved it. And I opened up the newspaper to the sports section, and here in the sports section was something I found very unique. They had ranked the ladies, high school ladies basketball teams in the area. And they ranked the top 25 teams. The rank for Edison was number 5. You read the same article, yeah. You know it. You want to come on up here? You come right on. No. Okay. It's okay. We got her name. Next, we'll get her up front. No. But then right to the side of that, did you read the other little part of that article and what was listed there? No. What was listed there was, bless them as they head their way. What was listed there was something to me was very unique. This was the 5th ranked team in the area. And they had the 25 players, the top scorers in the region. You know how many Edison players were listed? 0. They had the top free throw makers in the area. You know how many Edison players were listed? 0. They had 3-point averages. You know how many top Edison players were listed? 0. Now, when I read something like that, it means there are no superstars on that team. We were talking, and Friday night we were talking about, and they played yesterday, and sadly they didn't do as well yesterday, but they had a wonderful season. I think they finished, 24-4? And you know how they did it? Because they play wonderful defense together. And they move the ball. It's amazing to me how a team that is giving of themselves and not trying to be in the top 25 in scoring or in free throws can elevate to such a position simply by playing together. Then I went to the styles section. And I read I know you all think I read the Bible first thing Monday morning, but I turned to Dear Abby for encouragement. And a letter had been written in about a lady who'd gone to a funeral. And at that funeral, in the casket was placed a fork. And she wrote in asking, curious about this practice. And I learned something. It is said at certain funerals, they will place a fork by request in that casket. Those of you that have enjoyed a wonderful church meal, we call it a Sunday dinner, you go downstairs. For many years, there was a practice as they took up the plates after the meal, they would instruct you to keep your fork. Why? Because dessert, the best is yet to come. And those of you that are like me, you simply eat the meal to get to the dessert. You know what I'm talking about. And this lady had a request that this fork would be placed in her casket because she knew that the best was yet to come. This is simply the meal. Heaven, the best is yet to come. I read my scripture. And I thank God of people who pray and continue to pray. Time after time, we will open up prayer requests. Hands will go up. Still remember. Charlie, please remember. Still remember. I want to lift up. I was amazed when I stood out in front of you and opened that book and how that page so quickly filled up request after request after request. We need to pray. You need to pray and you need to encourage. It's in the Bible. Because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you. Didn't say the Holy Spirit. Didn't say God was doing this. Paul wrote this and singled out an individual because of his ability to encourage others. I like people who are excited. I like people who are encouragers. When I told Terry, I said, Terry, looks like the group's not going to be here Friday night. He says, I'm ready. I'm ready. I've known this guy for quite a while. He sang for you this morning, and I enjoy his singing. Terry's the kind of guy, if I call him up and I say, look, we're going to go fishing. We're fishing. We're going to go out here and catch Moby Dick. He wants to stop at 7-Eleven and get tartar sauce. That's the kind of guy that I want with me. I want people that although the issues in their lives may not be going the way they want them to go. We had prayer requests for a daughter this morning. We had prayer requests for so many individuals who are dealing with things in their life, so many challenges. But thanks be unto God that He allows us to look beyond our individual situation and hopefully be an encouragement to others. I think the apostle got it right here. It's amazing how he does. It's amazing how the more I read that I am encouraged And these small little light bulbs go off in my mind and heart about the nuggets that are found within this word. It's amazing about how when you pray for others, when you encourage, when you start to say something positive, there are phrases that I just don't, you know, you've heard them. You've heard them your whole life. That apple doesn't fall far from the tree. It won't work. It'll make a mistake. Well, you know that church over there, that won't work. I've heard enough of it. Do you think those people, those families waiting for word on that plane, what do they want to hear? They want to hear about the love of God. They want to hear about a Savior who hung upon a cross so that their loved ones, with their belief in this Savior, will move to the other side to meet again in heaven. That's what they want to hear about. They want to be encouraged in their faith, and they want you to pray. Just a moment, we're going to serve the Lord's Supper. We have a small wafer that's broken, represents the body. We have a small cup of juice, represents the blood. I don't know where you're at in your walk with God. If I sit and worry about it like that, my hair would be white. It would be tough, put it that way. I'll pray for you. I will encourage you. But you need time to just say, God, I need to talk to you. Prayer is the simplest thing you can do. It is simply a conversation with your Heavenly Father. That's all it is. And He hears. Thanks be to God, He hears. And I think you ought to take this time and just simply worship and thank Him for what He did. And you will find encouragement in your life. You may not have somebody that comes and encourages you. Everything that is written in this book that I have open encourages you. If you'll simply open it up and start to drink it in. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, we ask now that you will simply bless this wafer, if it represents the body that was broken, that you'll bless this small cup of juice. It represents the blood that was shed. And it says in your word for us to look within ourselves if there be any malice, ill will towards others. God, you just deal with us. If there be any sin in our lives, God, we ask you to forgive us. We ask each day that you forgive us all those daily trespasses. And God, we will do our best to forgive those who trespass against us.